scripture, and it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray the gratitude that we have for you is something we show on a regular basis. That, Lord, worship be a thing that we are always at. Because, Lord, that's what you're worthy of. You're worthy of our worship. You're worthy of our praise. Lord, I pray that we would live every minute of our lives, Lord, grateful, Lord, happy for the things that you've given us. And, Lord, the lives you've allowed us to experience. And that, Father, in that worship and in that gratitude, we would go about showing that same example to the people around us, that, Lord, we would show them to you, and that, Lord, we would be a part of the blessing you put in their lives. Lord, I pray that you teach us. Teach us, Lord, to worship. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. We are very familiar with this passage of Scripture. As of late, I've been referencing it a lot. I do have a problem with that as I'm preaching. If you could probably guess what I'm going to preach on next by some of the rabbits that I chase. This has been one of those rabbits that I've been working on for a little bit. And it says, of course, as I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now, in English, service has multiple different uses. That is one of the problems with our English language, is we don't quite have enough words for a lot of things. We've stolen so many words from different things. It doesn't always do exactly what we need it to do when it comes down to specificity. When we talk about service in this context, it's not like how I would have you over to my house and I would serve you coffee and soft drinks and water and I would serve you dinner. It does kind of have that root etymology to it. However, when we're talking about service here, it's a lot like service as we would say we're going to have a church service. In there, when we look at that Greek being brought back over, it has just as much to do as worship as it does to serve. Because after all, when we serve God, that's exactly what it is. It's worship. When the Israelites would go and they would give sacrifice of the different animals to the Lord, what was it commonly referred to as? Worship. Worship itself has a very open interpretation. However, when we are talking about worshiping God, we are looking at a laying prostrate, an opening of the heart and pouring out of gratitude and love towards something. Our devotion towards something. We start off every Sunday morning with what? We have the kids singing, and then we have what we call a devotion time. You are encouraged every morning to do what? Or every day to do what? Have devotions. Families together ought to be having family devotions. Whether it's just you and a spouse or you and a pack of kids, you're told to have devotions. But to me, when you use that word devotion, it's the same as when we say, hey, let's go on down to Faith Baptist Church. We're going to have revival. We have named something something, and we've lost the meaning in the process. If I'm going to have a devotion, what should it be? It is a time of dedication where God pours into me His knowledge and God reminds me of His love and God reminds me of His provision for me and I pray to the Lord and I pray in thanks for these things and I ask God to bless different areas of my life and I ask God to help in different things, but I pour out the praise, telling Him how grateful I am. Many of you, you're here this morning, and I know for a fact you sit in pain, you sit in discomfort. We began the service, and everybody was, there's some sickness going around. We're all going through things. Now, if you're here and you're uncomfortable, and it'd be easy to sit there and say, man, this knee, this back, my head, my nose, my this, my that, it would be easy for us to be swept up in that pain. But you know what we often fail to do? Praise God for the body parts that work. Praise God that as bad as it is, it ain't taking you out yet. We need to be grateful for these things. Because not everybody has it the way we do. And we could have it much worse than we have it now. We don't know by how much God's provision, as we talked about this morning in Sunday school, we don't know how much is upon us at any given time. But we do know this, we would be nothing without God's provisions. We would be nothing without His blessings. We would be in trouble after trouble. And people, you don't even have to be saved for us to live under God's provision. I believe America made it to where she is today by God's blessings. And every person who comes, even people who are not citizens of this country, come and are fed by the country. They come and they get their health care from our country. They're not even citizens, and they're enjoying the blessings God has bestowed upon our land. And we need to be glad for God's blessings onto us. And it ought to cause us to open our hearts and worship. As we open our hymn books during a service, I said before, you know, we have our services, we have our devotion times, we have our revivals, we name it a thing, but is it really the thing we call it anymore? When you sit and you pray and you have your daily devotions, are you really showing and proclaiming to God your love and devotion to Him? Because that's what it's supposed to be for. You are supposed to be pouring that out to God. We say we're going to have a revival service. How do you know? Unless you are planning to lay aside your sin and turn to God. And even then I would question, why would you wait? If you know there's business yet to be done between you and God, you could show up revived. You don't have to wait. As a matter of fact, that's how that happens. More often than not, when I've seen revival grip a church, man, I was a part of a thing one time down in Cincinnati. The pastor said, all right, we're going to have revival services. And I said, all right, well, I already know how to do this. We need to do this, 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 this. And I go, all right, what do you want me to start doing? He goes, all right, we're meeting in some of the members' homes. We're going to get the church together in people's homes, and we're going to pray for revival. And I said, yeah, but do you want me to start ordering this or organizing? No, this is what we're going to do. We're going to pray first. And he laid it out. We were in almost every church member's house. And I said, well, brother, how far away is this revival? He put it off. He said, all right, by the time we get through all this, it'll be this month, and that's the month we're going to have revival. He didn't plan revival on people's vacation times. He didn't plan revival around graduation. He didn't plan revival around anything other than the fact, or other than the time it would take for us all to pray in each other's houses for revival. And I promise you this, revival hit that church before the services did. Because that's what revival is. It is me laying aside the hard parts of my heart, laying aside my sin, submitting myself to God. And what happens? The fire comes back on. Well, we're going to have our devotion time. We're going to have our revival. We're going to have a service. And I'm going to confess my sin just as much as I'm declaring yours. How many times you walk into this church building, you pick up a hymn, and you get to the bottom of that hymn, and that was the goal. I sang it. You didn't consider the words. You didn't consider the effects. You didn't consider what was being said. I love that song, one of my absolute favorite songs on earth. It is Well With My Soul. And I'll tell you this, I've got a firm rule. I know every now and then we skip a verse. In this church, we are not allowed to skip the third verse of that song. And I've had one brother come up to me. He goes, well, I like all the other verses too. I go, fine, we'll sing all of them. Should. Of course, that was my pastor at Flat Rock at the time. You shouldn't talk to your pastor that way. But my favorite is that third verse, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Now, I love that song. That song is a powerful song. It is a very emotional song. Of course, the writer of that song lost his family in a shipwreck. And as the ship he was in sailed past that wreck, long after it had gone down, he picks up a pen, puts it to paper, and he writes those words. And it is a very tear-jerking song when you consider that. But to me, my focus goes straight to the third verse, because that's where I hurt. When I consider that God, in all of His infinite mercy and wisdom and power, who didn't choose to wipe us out, but instead allowed us to have children, and that through the progression of time, I was permitted to be born, even though I would be a rank failure at best, and He would die on the cross for my sins, that I would bear it no more. He says, I beseech you by the mercy. If you are here today and you have a hard time worshiping God, giving to Him proper service in the services, proper worship during the worship hour, I beseech you, as Paul beseeched, by the mercies of God. And has He not been merciful to you? Oh, brother, you know I've had a pretty hard life. Man, let's go ahead and make a list. Let's go. I bet in this group we could make a list of awful things, so much so that we could write it on every wall in this room. We could fill it. We could paint the walls with the bad things that have happened in our lives. But you know what I'd like to do? I'd like to take a little silver Sharpie after and highlight the ones where I could see where God did something through it. You ever do that in your life? Every now and then the bad thoughts come up on you, don't they? Hey, remember this awful thing that happened to you? You know, I know it's 11:30 at night and you're trying to go to sleep. But remember that terrible thing that happened to you? Did that ever happen? Man, it's miserable when that happens, isn't it? You know what I like to do? I like to go through and see where God worked in that situation. I mean, it's better than nothing. Way better than nothing. Some just have to sit there and go, oh man, my life's terrible. You know what I get to do? At least the bad stuff that happened to me means something. At least there was a purpose for it. Nobody likes to go under the sharpening. Nobody likes to go through the sharpening block. But I tell you what, at least you come out sharper. When God blesses the situation, when God provides, when you can sit there and say, hey, you know, by the mercies of God, by the grace of God, it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And because that happened, this took place, and that took place, and this happened. And it provided a perspective for me that I needed. And it caused me to open up more to God. And it brought me closer to Him. And I called on Him more daily, understanding my need for Him daily. And I tell you what, when you look at these problems, look for what God has done in them. By the mercies of God. By the mercies of God, you were born. Because if it were any one of us looking down on a creation like that, we would have destroyed it right there. We would have ended it. There would have been no leaving the garden. There would have been no letting people escape on an ark. We would have torched the place, drowned the place, burned the place, spoke it out of existence. That's what we would have done. But by the mercies of God, we're here. If you were born after the Roe versus Wade ruling, that's what we got to call it. It wasn't a law, it was a ruling. You need to be glad you're here. Because not all of us got that. Not all of us got that opportunity to live. We need to be glad for the opportunity to be born. And as Brother Charlie mentioned this morning, hey, there's probably been times in your life where you thought that was it. I mean, if you've ever woken up on the way to the hospital or in a hospital, you understand how much of a blessing it is to be able to draw breath. God is good to us. It is reasonable, it says. It's our reasonable service. Reasonable. If somebody does that for you, if somebody's letting you, allowing you to live and providing essence for your life, and they're providing food in your belly, and they're giving you the ability to do the jobs and do the work, if you're able to hold an existence, you ought to be glad. We ought to be grateful. It is just natural. It is reasonable to then turn to God, open up to Him, and praise Him for that existence. If you're here and you're saved today, knowing the cost that it would take for your soul, I don't have to guess. I knew the people I came up around. I knew the people I was close to, and I know where they are now. And I'll guarantee you that were it not for grace, that's exactly where I would be. I'd be right there with them. Not that I look down my nose on people. I'm not looking down my nose. I'm just looking and going, that's my heart. I know for a fact that's where I would be. I would be right there in that spot. If alive at all. Because I was that one person take things too far. If alive at all, that's where I would be. But God showed me things. And He granted me mercy. And He granted me grace. And He granted me knowledge. He put people in my life to bring me along. He put mentors and teachers and pastors in my life to come along and say, hey, this is the way it ought to be. Let me show you how. And when I've made mistakes, there have been people there to come along and say, now, do you know why that blew up in your face? They were there to teach and educate and make things right again. We need to be glad for the mercies of God. These things that we have, we do not deserve. As a matter of fact, what we deserve instead is punishment for the failures we have wrought. But God instead, in His infinite love, He shows us mercy. He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When I consider what a living sacrifice is, it's a sacrifice you make, but you get to keep the things. There were sacrifices in the Old Testament. You know, if I had to give a burnt offering, I'm not getting that back. That's gone. There's different kind of deal things that we would do. But you know what's great about a peace offering? You got to get some of it back. As a matter of fact, you got the most of it back. Go ahead and go to Leviticus chapter 3 with me. Leviticus chapter 3. It says, and if his oblation be a sacrifice of peace offering, if he offer it of the herd, whether it be male or female, he shall offer it without blemish before the Lord. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of his offering and kill it at the door of the tabernacle of the congregation. And Aaron's sons, the priests, shall sprinkle the blood upon the altar round about. And he shall offer of the sacrifice of peace offering, an offering made by fire unto the Lord, the fat that covereth the inwards. And it goes through and it declares all the things, right? The fat, the kidneys, it just kind of goes through all the things that are supposed to be handed over. But you know what happens to the rest of the stuff in certain peace offerings? It's served out to you and the people around you. It's served out to you and the people around you. You know what's great about giving your life as a living sacrifice that most people don't consider? As a matter of fact, they come to the conclusion of the opposite. Well, if I give myself a living sacrifice, I'm not allowed to have anything. That's not true. When I gave myself over as a living sacrifice to God, when I live my life in accordance to God's word and I honor Him and I seek to worship Him in every little thing that I do and I make every gesture and every task about a worship to God, you know what I still get to do? The stuff I want to do. We've got people here, you're studying or you've been working towards stuff. We've got some young people here. This is what I want to do when I grow up. By being a living sacrifice to God. As long as you're not committing sin, you can have those things. You can. You sit there, you go to the car lot, you want to pick out a car, you can pick out a car, you want to go to a new career, you don't like this boss, you want to go find another boss, God will make that happen for you. You get to enjoy the sacrifice. And as a matter of fact, you enjoy it more. You enjoy it more. Because what you're doing, you are giving over as worship to God. Christians, we ought not be anxiety ridden. Christians, we ought not be worried all the time. Christians, we ought not to be short tempered. You want to know what happens when we get short tempered? It's because we've got sin and our attitudes ain't right. There's something that has gone wrong. And either we need to repent, we need to heal, whatever it is, God has the ability to help us and we're refusing it. We need to do everything as an open worship to God. everything. There was times where when I was at work, we got to go and pick up the trash around the property. And there's some parts of those properties get mighty messed up. And you'd be picking up things you wouldn't want to pick up, having to see things you wouldn't want to see. Every now and then you'd find a dollar or something, you know. Bottles, man. We would just pick up bottles and bottles and bottles. What we got to do in one time with one group of people that I worked with, love those guys, we put all the bottles together. We'd go return them. We'd stock our maintenance fridge with Gatorade and water and popsicles. And we just kept that thing full with things that people would throw away. How can you worship God when you're picking up trash? Lord, man, I'm so glad to be working today. I know it seems like the bills get bigger than the paycheck, but I'm grateful that I'm able to make a dent. Lord, thank you for the wonderful day out here. What if it rained? Lord, thank you for the rain. Well, yeah, well, what if it's very hot? Well, Lord, thank you for not letting it rain. Thankfully, I'm not getting wet. What if it's super cold? Oh, man, those were the harsh days. When you're walking around and there's a good 6 or 7 inches of snow on the ground and you're digging through all that trash in the cold, you know what I would say? And you know I'm right on this because many of you have been around me. You know how I feel about it. Lord, thank you, it's not hot. Right? Well, isn't that just a convoluted way of thinking? No, it's a grateful way of thinking. I'm glad it's not too cold. I'm glad it's not too hot. I'm glad it's not too rainy. And when it is rainy, Lord, I'm grateful. We got a garden growing in the back over here. Thank you for watering our cucumbers. Be grateful. Well, I tell you what, if you're laid up in the hospital and you're in pain and you're waiting for some bad news, how can you worship during that time? Lord, I can't believe I'm still alive. Thank you. Lord, can you do me a favor? Can you send me a different nurse so I can give her the gospel? You change your attitude. And you be grateful for the things you're able to go through. You know what I tell you? I told our Sunday school class, we had a busy morning so far. Brother Tim's already had his gallbladder taken out. Dad's going through his PET scan to figure out just how bad this thing is inside of him. Amanda's over there fighting an infection down there in Ypsilanti. We got a lot of things going on. You sit there, you say, well, how can we possibly be grateful? Man, I tell you what, I'm glad that there's a facility that knows how to take care of the infection that Amanda has. I'm glad for that. Now, it's a bummer that she has to go through that, but that's the world we live in. It is, we do not live forever, no matter how hard we try. But I'm grateful that we've got the ability. There was a time on this planet you got an infection, sayonara. You know what I mean? There was a time in this world where if you had an issue with your gallbladder, it would take them weeks to figure it out, and there weren't no solution. I praise the Lord for that. I was telling Sunday school class, you know, when his son Steve went to go see him, they're going to take me back. By the time he got up to the hospital, which was very little time at all, they had already gotten the gallbladder out, and they've scheduled to release him today. I'm sitting there going, wow. Not entirely sure people, you know, there's people who go and get their hair done, take much longer than that, you know what I mean? I go, what'd they do, give him a haircut or take his gallbladder out? That was fast. That's what we can do now. I'm grateful for it. Does that mean you never get scared? Of course you get scared. It's a scary world. But it is in a halo of hope because I can praise God for the things that I see around me. Well, brother, you ever lived in pain? Yes, I have. You know, I'm 20 years old, sitting there on the couch, not knowing if I'm losing my job because I can't get up, I can't move, having issues with ulcers in my stomach, just all the different things that happened when we were first married. We got married. Everything was good. We had a plan. We had a place to live. Everything was fantastic. Stomach problems going through my teenage years. Doctor says it was no big deal. My wife of, 6 weeks, maybe less, finds me passed out on the bathroom floor, near bled to death. Scary thing. I know what it's like to sit there in pain. I know what it's like to sit there in pain and have a doctor look me in the eye and say, there's nothing wrong with you. We can't see what's going on. I also know what it's like to years later have a doctor go in and say, oh, see, there's the problem. The thing is, we just couldn't get the camera in that area. Oh, well. I know. Many of you, you've been through pain I can't imagine. And you probably know too. God still blesses, doesn't he? God still blesses and you can't figure it out. God blesses, you can't figure it out. Why is it that I'm not in complete despair over here? Because I tell you what, I think in this particular case, I should be in some deep despair right now. But you're not. That's the Lord. And we need to understand just how big of a gift that is. And it ought to lead us to worship Him. To praise Him in our hearts. To praise Him with our words. To praise Him in our actions. You're writing a report at work. You write a report with such a heart. Lord, I'm going to do the best report on earth just to impress you. Lord, I'm going to go out on whatever this is I'm going to do. I'm going to do this in my yard. And Lord, this thing that I'm doing, I'm going to do it just to impress you. Maybe you're at play. Maybe you're playing around. You ought to play a little bit in life. You ought to play. And some of you all, I've seen, hey, we're going on vacation. We're going here. We're going there. I praise the Lord for that. I pray you have a good time. You ought to play a little bit in life. You ought to enjoy it. It's a living sacrifice. You're supposed to live. You're supposed to be a living part of that. What do you do when you're wandering around the woods or you're at the museum or you're looking at the big city? What do? You just kind of look around and what should you do? You ought to praise God for where you are. Man, there's some beautiful places here on earth. Beautiful. Man, you need to take a minute to stop and just kind of stare and see the beauty of what God has made around you. And you know what it ought to make us do? We ought to be willing to worship. We get so quick to pass things. That's one thing I think the Lord is dealing with me in, is I'm so quick to need to get things done and get things right and make this go and whatever. I stop to really enjoy what it is I'm looking at. Lord's changed my perspective over this last year. And I caught it while we were at camp. Or as we were headed to camp and we were walking through with the kids. Well, that cave tunnel thing. Not, wow. Not a thought in my head, which is impressive. Don't make a joke. It is impressive. Look at that. One of our kids, I can't remember which one it was, they noticed water dripping from the top of the cave. Because it was raining. Or it was about to rain, or it had rained and just dripping. Well, how does it get through the rock? Oh, well, so this is how it gets, and then it comes down and drip, drip, drip. And over time, it wears things out, and what a beautiful thing. Sitting up in the mountains, and you look over, and you see the rocks, and you see all the beautiful things. It ought to make you worship. If you're not worshiping at the things you're looking at, you're worried too much. That's my perspective, and you can go ahead and take a guess as how I've come to that perspective. You worry too much. You want to control things too much. Stop and really have a look and be blessed by the things around you. It is Sunday. It's Sunday morning, and you're probably thinking along the same lines I have thought on a Sunday. All right, church ends at 12:30-ish, just depending on how much coffee he's had. Then we're going to go do lunch, and we've got to get there before so-and-so gets there, because if not, we'll be waiting in line for forever. Or if we got to get home, we got to get this started. I got to throw a couple loads of laundry in. I got to make my lunch for tomorrow. We do and we do and we do. And we never stop to consider how blue that sky is out there. You look up, you ought to be able to worship. It says the heavens declare the glory of God. Have you ever looked at the heavens and declared the glory of God? Well, you don't. I have a hard time getting in that mindset. Look. Look at the things that he has done. Man, I love looking up at the stars. I love learning things about space as we've got things out there and they're taking pictures of things. I love watching that stuff. That's amazing. They think that they're going to find the origin story for our galaxy out there. I think they're just going to find some really cool looking stuff. And, you know, it's there, they talk about different planets and how they work and things that we're guessing at and things that we're pretty sure of. I think it's fantastic. God put that stuff there. God put that stuff there. You know, nothing else makes sense to me. When you see how it all works, and you see how it's all going, you consider the sun, you consider the moon. When you see an asteroid or something like that blast past the earth, you sit there and you go, well, Lord, grateful that one missed us. But you stop and you think that's beautiful. You ever watch some of these kids running around here? Just the things their minds can do, the things they come up with. Man, you don't have to pay too close attention, but just as they're running by you, don't run in the church, but as they're moving by you, listen. It's astounding. You know, Evelyn just got here, and there she is. You know what I mean? Walking. Talking. It's amazing to me. She was born yesterday. We blinked. Now look. It's beautiful. You know, I was sitting there thinking, you know, when we first got here, Victor was just a tiny little thing. Got to watch him learn how to walk, and I think now the point is getting him to walk a little less. You know, it's amazing, isn't it? It's amazing. You said, what a blessing. You know, and every now and then you'll see one of them fall, and you know for a fact that if you fell that way, you'd be out for a week, and they brush themselves off. Uh-oh. Let's go about their lives. It's amazing, isn't it? We've got some kids who ain't so kids kids anymore. I was showing somebody the back, and I said, "Hey, look, these are some of the young women who've graduated over the last little bit, and I'm sure they're probably sick and tired of those things being up there. I never ask, but I celebrate. Hey, good job, congratulations. And lives are moving on, school's going on, careers are about to start. Someone's about to get married. How does that happen?" That's so quick. One minute they're children. The next minute they're learning how to drive a car. The next minute they're helping you get in and out of your pew. It's amazing. It's amazing. We stop and we look and we see the glory of God. We stop and we see in the progression of life the wonderful things that God has wrought. We consider the age of our church. Not the building itself, but the age of it. How long it's been around, the pastors that it's had, the people that have sat in these pews, the people that we've buried through this church. And now we know they're sitting in glory up in heaven enjoying a reward they never earned because of the grace of God. We need to worship. Again, prostrating ourselves, body and spirit, pouring out our gratitude to God. Whether we are at play or in observation of the world around us, worship is the only reasonable response. It's not just a matter of just declaring, oh, well, all right, well, that's wonderful. No, stop and consider the intricacies that God had to work for that blessing to take place. Even you, to see down through the generations, just the right things that had to happen for you to be here today. And then for the duration of your life, the things that God had to do to make sure that you were here today. We ought to praise the Lord for it. And be glad and be grateful. So when we pick up our hymns, when we pick up and we sing these songs together, I pray that it's not just habit. Oh my, we've got to have tradition, we've got to have rules, and so much of the stuff we do, I'll be honest with you, is arbitrary. Why three songs? Because it's an arbitrary amount of songs. How about three? That's what it was. How about three? We could do four, we could do nine, we could do one, but there's no point in doing any of them if they're not worship. You understand? There's no point in any of them. You can do 20 and it would be useless. If all you're doing is getting to the number 20 and stopping. You could do one and it could be the most blessed hymn ever because every heart is poured out, every eye is on God, and we are corporately as a body, His body, reaching out to Him and saying, thank you, Lord, we love you. And it'd be the best song ever sung. But it's in the heart. You could praise the Lord. You can worship Him at play. You could worship Him at work. And we ought to worship Him at work. Not in the aspect where we're holding up the process, but in every process that we're doing, we're praising God in it. And not just for the projects or for the things or the tasks that were increasingly difficult, but for everything. For every little detail that God allows to take place. And you're sitting there and you're reaching in, all right, well, I need a shovel. And you go in and you grab the shovel. You ever sit there and say, Lord, thank you for letting me do this. As you're walking back, just taking that time. Lord, this is wonderful. Of all the things I get to do, I get to do this. Of all the things that a person could go through, this is my task right now. I know that it will change how you live your life if you make everything you do a matter of worship. It's challenging though, isn't it? It's challenging. I probably shouldn't say this, but I think it's a good point, so I'm going to say it anyway. You know that thing that's come out recently where it talked about fingerprints on windows? Right? One day, the kids will grow up and there'll no longer be fingerprints on windows. And that's beautiful. That puts me into check. Hey, listen, you need to enjoy the time. Let the kids be kids. Don't lose your mind. But at the same time, I also have to not raise degens who put their face on every piece of glass they see. And that causes stress. You know what I mean? Kids ought to be kids. I enjoy the presence of kids. Love spending time with my kids. When they run out into the middle of a parking lot, my heart leaps up into my throat and my stomach goes down to my feet and I panic. There is the good, there is the difficult. You following me? You could have a job that you absolutely love. You could have a dream job. There are still going to be things you don't like about it because work is still work, right? There is the good, there is the difficult with the good. And you've got to work that out. But you know what makes the difficult more tolerable? You know what makes you have more patience for the difficult? You know what makes you stronger for the more difficult? When you turn it into an opportunity to worship God. That's what we need to do. Well, how do I turn getting the kids not to rub peas all over the wall? Not a problem I have. Nothing that's ever happened in our house. I'm trying not to use illustrations of my kids in the church, in the sermon so much. But how do I get the kids, teaching the kids not to rub their peas all over the wall and dump their soup on the floor? How do I turn that into an opportunity to worship? Consider those who don't get to have kids. Danielle and I have had that unique experience. There was a scenario where we didn't get to have them. Doesn't make a little bit of soup on the floor all that trivial of a thing. It makes cleaning the windows for the 30th time this week not such a bad thing. When we take it and we say, Lord, thank you for this tiny person. Thank you for this little person who's here, who's driving me crazy, yes. But thank you for them. How about for your spouse? You're turning interactions with your spouse, opportunities to worship. What if we did that? Well, you don't understand how difficult he is to deal with. You don't understand how difficult she is to deal with. You're both sinners. Be glad they're there. Be glad they're there. Ought to be glad. What about friendships? What about this church family? That we would take our interactions with each other and we would use them as a way to worship God. That I would treat people in a way that God would see treated. When we look back at this verse, and forgive me for having been away for so long from it, but 12 verse 1, where it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. We can treat the things in our lives, and we can treat the people in our lives in a God-honoring way. And it would lead to worship. Well, how do you know? Well, I have found that when you don't commit sin against people, when you don't hurt people, you have better relationship with them. Anybody with me on that? Amen. You typically have better relationships with people you don't hurt. And when people do bother you, if you respond to it in a godly way, typically you can heal those relationships a little bit better. Some folks, there ain't nothing you can do about them. But the majority of those things could be handled in a godly way. And even for those people that are seemingly impossible, you still treat them in a godly way. And at least you could sit there in the end and hold that interaction up and say, Lord, thank you for keeping my lips tame on this subject, because I could have said some stuff. Thank you, Lord, for helping me not lose my temper. Lord, thank you for making me a better person than I was, because there was a time in my life I wouldn't have responded that way. And boom, you just turned an argument into a time of worship. Because you obeyed, you presented yourself a living sacrifice, something holy and acceptable to God, and you could lift that up and say, Lord, thank you for the growth. Maybe you completely put your foot all the way through it, and now you've got yourself into some trouble, and you've repented of it, and you've had to go to that person. You need to say sorry, and that person says, I forgive you, and the relationship is restored, and you get to sit there and say, Lord, thank you for giving me another chance with this person. Everything we do, when done holy and acceptable unto God, can be something done out of worship, and that is how we should live. When we talk about a living sacrifice, folks, that's what we're talking about. Every day I give everything I do to God. If I've got a dollar, that is a dollar to be spent in a way that would bring honor and glory to God. If I'm allowed a gift, am I allowed some enjoyment of time? If I'm allowed a vacation, a trip, or this or that, that is time I lift up to God and I praise Him for it and I thank Him for it. Lord, thank you for this. I tell you what, at every grand junction of our life, we absolutely need to be worshiping God. But let's not just worship Him when we get the brand new house or we get the weekend off and we get to go on a trip. Let's not just praise Him for the big things. Let's praise Him for the everyday things. What if you praised Him every time you opened the refrigerator? You ever sit there and say, I don't have anything to eat? But in all reality, what you have is food to eat, but you just don't have anything you want. You know what I mean? You might open your drawer. I think right now we've got two big jars of peanut butter. Don't know why. Peanut butter will carry you for a while, won't it? Guess what? It's there. Right? We just did grocery shopping, so we got a lot more there than that. But you follow me on this. You open the fridge, you've got 17 different condiments. You've got sauces, and you've got ketchups and mustards, and you've got ranch dressings and Italian dressings, and you open that up, the whole thing rattles because you've just got jars of stuff. Isn't it sure nice to be able to spend money to make regular food taste better? It's nice. But if we open that fridge, we praise God for what was in there. There's people out there starving. And you've got ranch dressing money. You know what I mean? You've got two different flavors of ketchup. It's good. Open up that cupboard. What do you see inside? Well, I got the peanut butter. You know what I mean? There might not be any filet mignon in the fridge, but you got peanut butter. You praise the Lord for that. Tell you what, you live a long time on some of the basic food. Really could. I think we've got four or five random bags of rice. She might have consolidated them, I don't know. But we got rice. You know how long you could go for rice? We've got some non-perishable food items that we stored in the basement because I got a little nutty after 2020. You know, start saving stuff. It's there. Every now and then something gets old enough, you want to swap that stuff out. Put more down there. Look at you, fancy person, putting more down there. We made some ham and bean soup for the men's fellowship. Want to know why? Because I had three hams sitting in the freezer and we needed to start getting rid of them. That's a blessing, isn't it? It's a blessing. We need to praise God for the things that we have. Many people that sit there, well, I don't have the right kind of shoes for this. I don't have the right kind of shoes for that. You got shoes? Yes. Isn't it nice not to kick some stones up into the soles of your feet? Isn't that nice? Well, I don't always have, you know, my clothes don't look good. You know what I mean? Do you have clothes? You warm? Well, yeah. Praise the Lord. That we would turn those things into a heart, an attitude of worship. And you know what's going to come along with that? Contentment. Amen. Contentment, because now you're teaching yourself to be satisfied and to be happy for the things that you have. And contentment comes in and it takes over, and you find yourself wanting less because you are satisfied with having your needs met. And then when God goes ahead and he does what he always does and pours out more blessings on you, it seems even more exciting. Because you're no longer frustrated. You're no longer all tore up trying to chase after all the things you want, all the things you don't have, and all the things that are going wrong. And instead, you're finding moments to praise God. Because I tell you what, we don't deserve the blessings he's given us. We don't. This living sacrifice is one you still get to enjoy. The people would come to the temple, and you could always go when somebody was giving a peace offering. You and your family, you could go, and they would bring that food out, and the people that were around could eat that food. They could enjoy it. That is what a living sacrifice is. You've given away all the sins. You've kept yourself holy. You've kept yourself acceptable unto God, and you get to deeply enjoy the life. That's not how people would put it today. What's that? You believe there's sin in the Bible? You believe that God condemns sin? Oh, you backwards and old-fashioned person. What you're asking me to do is surrender all the joy in my life and all the good in my life and all the fantastic in my life. That could not be further from the truth. God wanting you to not have sin in your life is like your mechanic not wanting you to have sand in your gas tank. You following me? But it makes the gas tank full. Gas tank always reads full when it's got sand in it. Ask your engine how it feels about it. That's what we're doing with sin. It makes my life feel full. It's a trick. It's a trick. But if I give myself over to God and I say, Lord, what you say is dirty, I say is dirty. And what you say I shouldn't do, I won't do. And Lord, I'm going to submit myself and I'm going to keep myself holy. I'm going to keep myself acceptable unto you. And I'm going to do the holy things. I'm going to do things in a way that is acceptable to you. Then we get to have a kind of life that we wouldn't even get to fathom with sand in our gas tank. We get blessings instead. It says here this simple phrase. Reasonable service. Reasonable service. If I came over to your home and I fixed everything wrong in your house, and I mean everything, I'm ripping out refrigerators and replacing them with new ones. I'm pulling out your old gas range and I'm putting in one of those brand new fancy restaurant style deals. I'm blowing out that wall that's cutting off your space there in the dining room. I'm replacing not just that wobbly leg on your table, but I'm replacing the whole dining set and I make everything new. Would you be happy? If I came over and I took you to my doctor, I have a very good doctor, and that doctor gave you a pill and he put you through a procedure and he ran some tests on you and you walked out feeling 30 years younger and you walked out with every ailment you've ever had better and you walked out and you could see and you no longer needed glasses and you lost some weight too and you were looking fit and you looked down, hey, I got some six-pack abs and some legs that can run for days. Would you not be happy? If I made it possible for you to live forever in paradise, would you not be happy? We would say yes, but how many of us have been given brand new lives and an eternity to boot, and we still get caught up in the drudgery of this world? We need to worship God. It is only reasonable after everything he's given us. The problem comes is this, is we've stopped looking at what we have as blessings. We fail to consider the mercies of God. That's why he's not just throwing out a random phrase here. He's literally telling them the solution. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. By the mercies of God, you can do this. We need to consider it and we need to avail ourselves to those mercies so that we can go ahead and give our lives as a living sacrifice, so that we can turn our lives not into something of drudgery and fighting and beating against ourselves to try to get just to get ourselves to behave. No, that we would turn it from that into a life of open worship. Because it's hard to sin when you're worshiping God. It's hard. I did this recently. Our air went down in our van. Some of the guys in the church said, hey, why don't you just go fix it? Church will take care of it. Sitting in the van, we were stuck in traffic. Don't you hate being stuck in traffic? Hate being stuck in traffic. You know what came to mind? That cold wind whipping across my face. Man, if I'm stuck in traffic, at least I got air. We came all the way up from Tennessee. No air. You know what I mean? It's hot down there for a Michigan fellow, especially when he's built like this. Sure is nice. Sit there, you look back in the car, and the kids are just kind of crashed out sleeping. Why? Because it's not 100 degrees inside. That's a little thing, isn't it? Cool air on a hot day, that's a little blessing compared to things that people go through. People live outside in the 100-degree heat. They spend all day in the 100-degree heat. There's countries you can't get air conditioning. You know what I'm saying? Like, it is rough out there in the desert to do stuff like that. Man, they just couldn't afford it, don't even want it. So used to the lifestyle, don't even think about it. Here I am in Michigan, 90-some-odd degrees. It's so hot. It's a small thing, and God blesses. We need to stop, take a beat, look at the things around us as mercies of God. And even in the hardships, find the things that God is weaving. Sometimes it's going to be hard to find sometimes. But you take the moment to look, and you'll see. You'll see those things. And we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you. Because otherwise, what's the purpose of being saved? What's the purpose of a relationship with God if we keep forgetting who he is and what he's done for us? Of all the things he gives you, if there's no gratitude, if there's no recognition, if we're always just going through the motions like we deserve it, what a sad life. What a sad relationship with God. But instead, when you see every moment and everything and every blessing, if you see it as a gift from God, your whole world changes. God is worthy to be praised. He deserves our worship. And folks, if we don't, we're miserable. We're miserable. So instead of us trying to live like we're lost, let us give that living sacrifice of worship every day to the Lord. Keeping our minds. Doesn't the Bible say that we need to be constantly in prayer? It tells us that we need to always be in prayer. And that's part of that worship. That just like that, you could just in your mind turn to the Lord and just share a thought. Share a concern. Oh, wow, Lord. I thought that was going to be much worse. Thank you for that. I thought that was going to be difficult. Thank you. You know, we're sitting there, and I'm going to tell on Brother Greg this time. We're here doing some work yesterday. Brother Greg comes up. He took care of the bushes. I won't tell you how many times he's done it. Took care of the bushes. I go, that was on my list of stuff to play with. A man better than me showed up to do it. That's great. Thank you. I've done that a few times. There's been a few times here around the church I've shown up and I go, okay, there's a problem, I better show up. And some of you men who are way better at fixing things and have way better understanding of things are already here going, all right, just don't worry about it, I got it taken care of, you know. Well, thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Thank you, Lord. That's wonderful. Look at this, Lord. Look at your people caring about your stuff. What a blessing. whether it's reaching into your pocket and finding a couple bucks, or getting good news where good news shouldn't be, we need to praise God. He is worthy of it. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, you're such a blessing to us. Lord, you give us strength. You give us air. You give us our minds. Lord, you pour out money and you pour out blessings. You pour out health. And Lord, all the things you put into our lives, we need to be worshiping you. It's only reasonable. It doesn't make any sense to be recipients of so much mercy and grace and not return worship. So Lord, I pray that we have more than just a high opinion of you, but Lord, we reciprocate a deep appreciation of what it is you've done in our lives. Help us, Lord, never to get complacent or apathetic, but Lord, help us to always, always honor the gifts you've brought into our lives. For it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.